Move your Bibles back up to where the passage was read back in Ezekiel chapter 12. Let's continue in. We've reached a new part in our Sunday morning readings where, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, we're kind of preaching ourselves through these readings. Ezekiel's not an easy book. A lot of symbolism in it. And as we work our way through in our readings, as we come to a new section, a new part, a new thought in the text, we're going to just kind of look at that prior to the readings. Hopefully it will help us out. And just to remind us of where we are in chapters 1, 2, 3, we got what we call that call of Ezekiel. You are my watchman. Now go tell them. Go sound the trumpet. Let them know what and why. Chapter 4, 5, 6, and 7 was Ezekiel kind of acting like a madman in front of him. He goes out and he builds his fort. He just lays on it and then he begins like moving armies. And he has these miniature, he just kind of shows them. This is what's going on in Jerusalem. This is what's happening back home. Then he let his hair grow out for over a year. Then finally he cuts and throws some of it in the wind, some of it scattered. Some of it burned up. Some of it taken with the sword. This is what's happening back home. People are dying. People are starving. People are scattered. And they're not ever coming home. Chapters 8, 9, 10, 11. The last one that we looked at was where, through a vision, Ezekiel actually goes back in the spirit to Jerusalem. And he looks into the temple. This little hole. And he looks into the temple itself. And he sees all the idols that cover the walls. He looks around the temple and the courtyard, and there's idols, and there is false worshiping happening right there on the temple grounds itself. And then that chariot shows back up again, except the chariot's dropping napalm. The chariot is dropping fire. And it's the symbol. God is destroying this place. If you remember where we left at, in chapter 11, the last one that we looked at in our study, verse 25, I spoke unto those in captivity all the things that the Lord showed me. He tells them what he saw. He tells them what's going on in Jerusalem. Well, that brings us to the next section. Chapters 12, 13, and 14 work together as a unit. And basically, this is where Ezekiel is describing the judgment. This is why all this is happening. And he begins to talk about the judgment of Jerusalem. Let's pick up in chapter 13. We're going to do this out of order. Look in chapter 13. He's talking to the false teachers to kind of set the tone for this particular section. In chapter 13, verse 17. Likewise, the Son of Man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy from their own heart, and you prophesy against them. He's talking to false teachers here. He says, I want you to tell them. I want you to go there. I want you to challenge them. Look at verse 18. There are some phrases. Again, Ezekiel, not the easiest book. In verse 18, you say to them, thus says the Lord, woe to the women that sew pillows on their armholes, and who make kerchiefs, veils upon the head, and then go trapping souls, hunting for souls. He's talking to false teachers, and all that language there about the head and the arms and so on, it's as if he's talking about armbands. And he's talking about these covers, these veils. Imagine in your mind, the best way, as I can understand this, it's as if, imagine you go to a county fair and you walk into one of those palm readers or one of the people throwing dice and then imagine you go to one of these so-called fortune tellers. And now picture how they're dressed. They'll have the long flowing stuff. They'll have the thing. They'll have the thing on that. They'll have that the band here and the band up. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about false teachers who have adorned themselves with these charms and with these things around them. That's what this is talking about. And now pick back up in verse 19. You pollute me among your people, among my people, for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread. You slay, you kill souls that should not die. And you're saving the souls that should not live. Now we'll talk more about that in just a moment. They've got the dress on. They've got the garments on. They've got the fancy stuff on that draws attention to themselves. And he says, you're soul killers. You are hunters of soul. There are people that are dying. And they don't have to die. Drop down to verse 22. Because of lies, you've made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. And because of your lies, you've strengthened the hands of the wicked that they should not return from their wicked ways by promising life. And that takes us back up. People are dying that shouldn't, and people what's that talking about? The people that are righteous, you're destroying them. You're causing sadness and grief to them, and it ought not be. And then there are others that could come back to me. They would repent. But you're encouraging them. You're the one, you're aiding them by these lies that you tell. You're encouraging them in their sin, and they're going to remain in it because of what you're telling them. And now go back up to verse 22, or verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am against your pillows. Verse 21, your kerchiefs, all those charms you're wearing, all those things that's adorning the body, I'm going to tear them right off of you. And I go back up into verse 20. I am against your pillows in which you hunt souls to make them fly. I will tear them from your arms, and I will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt and make fly. That idea about making them fly, it's imagine a birdcage. He says, you're trapping souls. You're hunting souls. You're devouring souls as if they were birds. I'm going to release them from you. Verse 21, your kerchiefs also will I tear, and I will deliver my people from your hand, and they will no longer be in your hand to be hunted. And you will know I am the Lord. You remember that phrase? All throughout these sections, you'll know who I am. So this text, I've skipped along. Go back to chapter 12 now. But I just wanted to emphasize, this is what this is about. He is calling the false teachers on the carpet. He is going to open up the judgment that's coming to them and why it is coming to them. Judgment is coming, and it won't be delayed. That's what these chapters are about. And so for the next 3 or 4 Sundays, however long it takes us to work through chapters 12 through 14, he's talking about the destruction and why. So let's begin in verse 1, chapter 12. And if you remember, we ended up chapter 11. All the people, those leaders are in his house, and he tells them about what he saw in the vision. But now he goes back to crazy guy. Now he goes back to doing things. This chapter is full of him doing things that people would find a little bit odd. And here's one of them. Chapter 12, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, you that dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, those who have eyes to see, and they don't see. They have ears to hear, and they don't hear. They're rebellious. I know what you're living with. I told you before you got started that most of them were going to ignore you. He's just reminding them. Reminding you. You live among people who don't see a thing and they don't hear a thing. But I got to work for you. I've got a job for you. Verse 3. Therefore, son of man, prepare you stuff for moving. And move by day in their sight. And you will move from place to another place in their sight. And it might be that they will consider their rebelliousness. That doesn't make any sense to us when we first read it. What's he saying? Ezekiel, pack your bags. pack your suitcase. And this is not a vision. The vision ended in chapter 11. This is real. This is what he is doing. Pack your suitcase. And every day, I want you to move from here to here. The next day, to pack your bags. And you go over here. And I want you doing it in the middle of the day. I want them seeing you. And what he's doing is, this is another one of those, like when he built the fort. This is an outward sign of something. What's the something? He's hoping in verse 3, he says, maybe somebody will consider what you're doing. Maybe they'll take notice of it. And maybe they'll wonder. Look in verse 4. You will bring forth your stuff by day in their sight. Stuff for moving. And you will go forth at evening in their sight as they that go into captivity. Now do you see the sign? Now do you see what he's doing? Pack your bags, Ezekiel. I want you to move every single day. You're not going to sleep in the same place tonight as you did last night. And the place you sleep tomorrow night, that's not where you're going to sleep the next night. You're going to move. And you're going to move every day. And you are going to be a sign to them that that's what's fixing to happen to my people. They're fixing to go from here to here, and they're not going to like the trip. They're not going to like where they end up. Look in verse 9. Actually, back up into verse 7, just to emphasize one phrase. Look in verse 7. I did as I was commanded. Well, of course he did. That's why we love Ezekiel. That's why he's one of the greatest of Old Testament prophets. He does this. Just as he laid in that ford, just as he did all that stuff, knowing they were laughing at him. He does this. But I drop down to verse 9. Son of man, has not the house of Israel, this rebellious house, have they not said unto you, what are you doing? Of course they ask. Of course they ask it. It's what me and you would have asked. If you saw somebody in your neighborhood walking around with their suitcase and they plop down on this corner and they sleep by the stop sign tonight, then they pick it up and they walk over and then they sleep by the fire hydrant on the 2 blocks away, would you not have some questions? Of course they ask what he's doing. Verse 11, you say to them, when they ask you, what are you doing? You say to them, I'm your sign. Just as I have done, so shall it be done to them. They will move and go into captivity. What are you doing? I'm showing you what's fixing to happen. I'm showing you what's going to occur. I am not the only one moving from place to place. I'm not the only one who's fixing to pack a bag. No. There's another wave coming. There's more captivity coming. There's more slavery coming. He gets specific. In verse 12, the prince that is among them. That prince, he's talking about the king. He's talking about Zedekiah, the king that had been appointed by Nebuchadnezzar, now he's reigning in Jerusalem. It's like a puppet, handpicked basically, but he is still king. That's who he's referring to. Now drop down to verse 13. My net I will spread over him. He's not getting away either. He's going to pack a bag and move too, is the point. My net shall I spread upon him, and he will be taken by my snare. I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet he will not see it, though he dies there. The king is coming too. He's going to die in this land, and he's not going to see it. That sounds like a riddle, doesn't it? Sounds like he... Do you remember? We won't turn back. We won't take the time to go back to 2 Kings chapter 25. Do you remember what they did to Zedekiah? They blinded him. Before he made the trek, before he packed his bags and moved, they took his eyes out. And if I've got the king right, they took a hook, like a fish, and stuck it in his jaw. So imagine a king who's been blinded. Now he's got this big hook in his mouth as he's being led. Just like you hook a fish and take him from his home to your boat. Here's the king being led. Ezekiel giving them the sign of what to come. And who all is going to be impacted by it. Look in verse 16. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword. Not all of them's going to die in this pestilence. They're not all going to die. Some are going to make this trip. And here's what's going to happen when they do. I will leave a few men of them from the sword and from the famine and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen when they come. It's as if God is saying, I'm not going to kill them all. I'm not going to destroy them all. Some of them is going to make this long trip. They're going to come to Babylon. They're going to live where you are. They're going to move. They're going to pack their bags. And when they get here, they are going to let all of you know how bad it was. They're going to be the witnesses, eyewitnesses to my vision that I told you about. I told you I went back and I saw through a peephole what was going on in the temple. I through a vision saw what was going on in and around the... I told you what I saw about the idolatry. There's going to be people who came. There are going to be people who come here who lived it. And they're going to tell it. The captives are going to recognize that justice is being served. And it kind of just emphasizes, you know, those that were taken in that last wave weren't the most godly of people. And they're going to give eyewitness testimony to their ungodliness. And now we're right where Lawton just read for us. Did that make any sense? What Lawton read, did that kind of... Look what he was told to do. I'm just going to repeat exactly, just read exactly what we just did. Hopefully, we'll get an idea of what this next action was. He laid and did the fort. Then he's walking around with a suitcase every night. And now he's told to do something else. Look at verse 17. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. So now here's the next thing Ezekiel is told. Son of man, eat your bread with quaking, shaking. Drink your water with trembling and anxiety. Ezekiel is now doing something else in public. And what he's doing is, as he eats, as he takes a cup to his mouth, and it's not because he has Parkinson's, and it's not because he is just being overcome by old age. Carl and I had a friend that, it wasn't Parkinson's that he had, but he had a disease that just caused incredible shaking, tremors, and he had to partake of the Lord's Supper. His wife would bring a straw. And as the tray came, she would put that straw in his mouth and guide him a little bit down so that they could get the other end of the straw into the cup. And he would suck it through that straw. Because he couldn't get it to his mouth. He would have made a mess all over himself and the pinch and the carpet and had to drink through a straw. I'm guessing you know people who may have had to drink through straws. This is not because of some age issue. Pick back up in verse 19. So he's told what to do. Now here's what you tell them. You say to the people of the land, thus says the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the land of Israel, they will eat their bread with anxiety. They will drink their water with astonishment. And their land is desolate because of the violence where they dwell. They are scared to death. Ezekiel is talking to the ones in Babylon. He's talking about what's going on in Jerusalem. And he said, shaking hands. There's a siege going on. And there's a conquering going on. And there is death. And there is fire. And there is hurt. And they are scared. And he's doing this image in Babylon to give them an idea of what's going on. Pick up in verse 21. This is what will happen. I'm not sure who's reading in the next hour, but this is what we'll read of then. The word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, what is that proverb that you hear in the land of Israel? The days are prolonged and the and every vision fails. Hey, Ezekiel. Now, what is it that they're all saying? What's that proverb back in Israel? Oh, I know. We've got plenty of time. The days are prolonged. Pick up in verse 23. You tell them, thus says the Lord God, I will make this proverb cease. They will no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But you say to them, the days are at hand and the effect of every vision. The proverb in Jerusalem, oh, we got plenty of time. Oh, there's going to be a silver lining that saves the day. And this city's not going to fall. This is the city of David. There's where the temple is. This city is going to make, I don't know how, but it's going to be prolonged. That was what they're still telling each other. That's the word in Jerusalem. The word to Ezekiel is, you go tell them that proverb is a lie. And it's going to end. And they will never say it again. Because the days are not prolonged. The days are at hand. Look in verse 25. I am the Lord. I will speak. And the word that I speak will come to pass. It will no more be prolonged. It will not be deferred. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and I will perform it, says the Lord. Verse 28, therefore say unto them, thus says the Lord God, there shall be none of my words that are prolonged anymore, but the word I've spoken will be done. No, I'm not going to wait. The days are not prolonged. The days are now. Go tell them. That's what chapter 12 is about. And now chapter 13, where we started. He's now talking to the false teachers, remember? So look in verse 1. So the word of the Lord came to me. So here's the next thing Ezekiel is told. The word of the Lord came to me. He says, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. And say unto them that prophecy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. So let me paraphrase that. Ezekiel, go to the false teachers and tell them what I'm really saying. They're lying. They're saying the things in their own heart. They're just making it up on the fly. Go tell them what I'm really saying. Verse 3, thus says the Lord, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. Oh, the days are prolonged. They don't have any idea. Go tell them. Verse 6. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, thus says the Lord, the Lord has not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. I'm not talking through them. I didn't send them to anybody, and they're not speaking for me. And yet there's people living off of every word they say. People hoping off of every word coming off their lips. Verse 8, therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you spoke in vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, says the Lord. And my hand will be upon prophets that see vanity and the divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither will they be written in the writings of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and you will know that I am the Lord. Paraphrase that. When this is all said and done, Ezekiel, there won't be any record of them. There won't be any legacy of them. You know, there are places we can go back in the old history. Go back to the United Kingdom, divided kingdom. And there are false teachers and false prophets called by name. This whole section is about false teachers. And we don't know any of them's name. And that's what Ezekiel said was going to happen. There'll be no record of you. There'll be no census where your name is on the list. You're going to disappear from the history of my people. Look in verse 10. Because they've seduced my people, saying peace when there was no peace. They have built up a wall, and others have dabbed it. The old King James says, with untempered mortar. The newer translations use the idea of whitewashing. Verse 11, saying unto them that whitewash it, that put the untempered mortar on, that it should fall. There will be an overflowing shower, and great hailstones will fall, and a stormy wind will rend it. What does that say? These people have misled. They have deceived. They have told my people that I am at peace with them. I am not at peace with them. That's why the captivity is happening. That's why the destruction is happening. But they're lying about it. They're telling people that there is peace, that they will make it through. The days are prolonged. And he says it's as if they have built a wall of safety around themselves. Oh, we are going to be safe. And he said their wall wouldn't make it through a small drizzle. It wouldn't make it through a sprinkling. And it's fixed to go through a Category 5 hurricane. So they built a wall, all right, but it's just whitewashed. There's no true mortar within it. There's nothing firm that holds it together. There's nothing that's going to make it stand, and I'm fixing to send a deluge to it. I'm fixing to send an overflowing river through it, and it's going to wash it right away. And by the way, that overflowing rain, overflowing storm, he's talking about Babylon itself. A Category 5 hurricane's working its way through. And they've got this little paper mache wall, and they think they're safe. Drop down to chapter 14. Verse 1. Then certain of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. They have come back again. We saw this earlier. We saw after the fort, after the shading of the hair and the beard, he does all that stuff with the wind and the sword and the fire. They came to him into his house and asked some questions. Well, after the movie, after the suitcase thing, after all that time shaking, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. In chapter 14, they come back to him again. They've got more questions. So he's now talking to them, talking to these leaders there. Look at the end of verse 3. God's speaking through. He says, shall I be inquired of you? It's as if God said, now you want to know what I have to say? Now you're interested in my point of view? Now you want to hear something? Verse 4, therefore speak unto them and say, thus says the Lord. Okay, you want to know what I've got to say? Here it is. Every man of the house of Israel that sets up his idols in his heart and puts a stumbling block of iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of the idols. Oh, you want to know what I've got to say? Okay, I've got something to say to all these false teachers. And I have something to say to all those who are going to them, who are listening to them. Verse 5. They are estranged from me. You know, we still use that word. We talk about a child or a parent, and maybe there's this estrangement. You're estranged from me. What's the root word of estranged? You're a stranger to me. We're not close. You are estranged from me through these idols. Look in verse 7. Every one of the house of Israel, or the stranger that sojourners in Israel, which separates himself from me, and sets up his idol in his heart, and puts the stumbling block of iniquity before his face, and comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. Oh, you're going to them for answers. Well, let me answer for myself. Oh, you're going to go to them to find out what I had to say. Let me just speak for myself. Let me tell you myself. Verse 8, I will set my face against that man I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of the people, and you'll know that I'm the Lord. To the false teachers, I know who you are. Look in verse 10. They shall bear the punishment of their iniquity, and the iniquity of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeks him. So it's not just the false prophet that's going to be punished. It's the ones who go seeking them out. It's the ones who are trusting them and listening to them and obeying them. So we're not seeing very much good here, are we? Chapters 12, 13, and 14 is about destruction. 12, 13, and 14 is about the coming real judgment of Jerusalem and all the inhabitants that are still there. You know, there was another city where destruction was called. And what if we can find this? And what if we can find this many saved? And what if we can find... And Abraham begins to try to barter almost. And could you imagine if at this point somebody comes up to Ezekiel and says, well, wait a minute. Well, what can we do to stop this? What can we offer that was in this? Look in verse 14. Even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in Jerusalem, they could deliver nobody but their own souls. Verse 15. If I cause beast to pass through that land and spoil it. Verse 16. If those three men were in Jerusalem, they couldn't do anything but deliver their own self. Verse 17. Swords going in the land to devour it. Verse 18. If those three men were there, they couldn't stop it. Verse 19, if I send a pestilence to the land. Verse 20, Noah, Daniel, and Job couldn't stop it. What he is saying is, this is happening. The days are not prolonged. That proverb is in the past. The day is now. And the greatest of Israelite heroes can't stop it. If those heroes were there, they could get out themselves with righteousness. But that didn't mean anybody else would. Just as a quick aside, it's really interesting. Noah, who got himself out. Job, who went through what nobody else has ever gone through. But he came out the other side of it. Daniel, really interesting because Daniel was still alive. You want to know how much they thought of Daniel? Daniel was still in the present day when Ezekiel... Daniel's prophesying in the tablet, in the kingly area. He's in the royal area. He's in the castle. Ezekiel prophesying with the commoners. But Daniel's still alive and he uses him. We love Daniel. Even in the present day, he was considered a hero. And he's used as an example. Wow. What a chapter. What a section of prophecy. And it doesn't sound very good, does it? But there are some comforting thoughts. Look in verse 6. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn yourself from the idols. All we have said, it's vanity. It's divination. It's nothing more than a fortune teller at a county fair. And I am estranged to you because of it. But you can repent. The city's going to fall. But you can repent. Look in verse 11. That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with their transgressions. The city is fallen. The walls are coming down and the temple's coming down. But you can be pure. And then that word that appears so much in the prophecies. Verse 22. Behold, there will be left a remnant that will be brought forth. Sons and daughters. They'll come forth unto you. And you'll see their way and their doings. And you'll be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem. There's a lot of shaking going on. There's a lot of fear going on. There's a lot of anxiety going on. And there's about to be a bunch of suitcases packed. But there is a remnant that's going to come from it. And there is comfort that can be had from it. When it's all over and done, there is good to be seen. So that's chapters 12, 13, and 14. I hope that helps us in the next month or so as we go through those readings. But get your psalm book out. Is there some anxiety in your life? Are there some things going on in your life, your family? Makes your hand shake. Makes your spirit shake. You don't know what's happening. You don't know how long it's going to happen. And we, individually, can be pure. We have a God. You will know that I am the Lord. It's repeated throughout Ezekiel. Do we know who He is? As we sing sometimes, do we know that He cares? What a source that we have to deliver us. If there's anything we can do in a public way before we go farther into our service, if you feel your service is hindered, then let's take care of it right now. Come while we stand and sing.